From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? That's right, your favorite sports talk show in town is now hit your speakers. Current Sports is live and in full effect. As always, I'm the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all today. Folks, have you heard about the East Lansing boys basketball team? They are the hottest mid-Michigan boys team on the hardwood that there is right now, folks. They are winners now of 9 of the last 10 games. And you better believe we will invite Steve Finnemore, the head coach of that very team, to talk about this incredible run by a very young squad. A lot of potential as the years go by now, and they seem to be clicking right as the postseason starts, I believe, in now just a few days for the boys' high school hoops. Steve will join me on the show in just a sec. Later on, we'll be talking about the Michigan State men's basketball team as they take the hardwood tonight for senior night. That's right, the final home game for the Spartans. And guess what, folks? You can win a pair of tickets to go see the Spartans tonight at the Breslin. And we'll find out, how to do that. So stay tuned for that. We'll also talk about the 25-year anniversary of a sad anniversary, to say the least. The Hank Gathers death. For many of you out there that don't know that story, we'll talk about that. And also Jim Harbaugh, the Good Samaritan. Man, we got a lot to talk about on today's show. So without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 4th. All right, let's begin things with the maize and blue. The Michigan men's basketball team lost a double overtime heartbreaker in Evanston, Illinois last night. 82-78, the final of that one. Northwestern's Trey Demps had 20 points and hit not one, but 2 3-pointers in the closing seconds of regulation and OT to force double OT, while the Wolverines elected not to foul and just play things out. Yes, foul or defend, folks. Foul or defend. Now, career highs from Zach Irvin and Aubrey Dawkins with 28 and 21 points, respectively, weren't enough for Michigan in the loss. We'll be breaking down that loss in just a sec. MSU's Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, and Keenan Wetzel will be honored tonight for senior night in a much-needed win against Purdue. That's right, folks. The final home game of the MSU men's basketball year. Can you believe that? Now, Dawson will be key as the Indiana native has averaged 15.8 points, 7 rebounds, and a little over 1 block in 4 meetings with Purdue in the past. Now, MSU has lost his last 2 games and is trying to make an 18th consecutive NCAA tourney bid. Jim Harbaugh, I love this story here. Jim Harbaugh, who is the head coach, of course, of the Michigan football team, and one of the football program's support staffers. Both of them stopped to help a pair of women who had been in a car crash on I-94 yesterday afternoon. Now, a university spokesman confirmed that Harbaugh and former football operations director Jim Minnick provided first aid and offered their coats to the women as they waited for law enforcement to arrive. How about that? Hats off to Jim Harbaugh. I love stories like that. All right, East Lansing boys basketball, they won its 4th straight game over CAAC white co-champion Lansing Catholic last night, 56-35, the final of that game. Lansing Catholic closed within 9 points early in the 4th, but East Lansing used a 14-2 run to extend its lead for good. Mikael Miles, who has been great all year, he led the way with 24 points, and his brother Wesley Miles chipped in 14 points for the Trojans in the win. And of course, Mikael Miles and Wesley Miles are the little brothers to former MSU women's basketball player Clarissa Bell. East Lansing head coach Steve Finnemore will join me on the show to talk about the success of the team later on. You don't want to miss that interview, folks. All right, yesterday, the Detroit Tigers, they beat the Baltimore Orioles 15-2. Man, that's a whopping. In the Grapefruit League season opener, now Ian Kinsler and Aaron Westlake each hit a 3-run home run for the Tigers, and Yoenis Cespedes hit a grand slam. The Orioles swept the Tigers in the American League Division Series in October. 3 Tigers were hit by a pitch, including Nick Castellanos, who left the game with a left hand contusion. X-rays were negative, and he is going to take the injury day by day. All right, this is a pretty funny story. Lions star Ndamukong Suh, who is set to become a free agent, unless he reaches a deal with the Lions before next week Tuesday. I tell you what, popping up in several areas in Metro Detroit are billboards that simply state, Sue? With the S in the sign of a dollar sign. Now, there is no word yet on who has funded the billboards or the clear message behind them, but with Sue looking to become the highest paid defensive lineman in the league, one can certainly guess, all right? And how about this team? I tell you what, folks, the Wildcats are for real. Kentucky continued its unbeaten year, moving to 30-0 after beating Georgia on the hardwood in a back-and-forth game last night, 72-64 the final of that one. The game had 18 lead changes and 10 ties, but the Wildcats made a 16-2 run in the final 5.5 minutes to finish their biggest lead of the night. Kentucky's Carl Anthony Towns finished with 19 points and 7 rebounds in the W. And last but not least, in a rare occasion for football, word has come out that the Eagles and Bills have a huge trade in place to send Eagles running back LeSean McCoy to Buffalo and Bills linebacker Kiko also to Philly. Now, Alonzo is coming off an ACL tear, that will cost him the entire 2014 season. He will be the 9th former Oregon player to join Chip Kelly on the Eagles. The trade won't be made official until next week at 4 p.m. Man, all right, folks, so that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. Without further ado, hey, let's start this party. Man, I can't read today. Alasso? Come on, man. Alonzo, Al. Goodness. All right, folks, our phone lines are open all the way up until 2 p.m. We'll be taking your calls. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Also, of course, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there, and I'll read your comments right here live on the air. Or you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And hey, you. Yes, you out there listening. Tonight is the final home game for the MSU men's basketball team. They will be taking on Purdue for senior night. After that game, of course, Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, and Keenan Wetzel. Shout out to Keenan as well. I mean, he's really becoming very good at his craft, to say the least. He just released, of course, the Cager. Keenan's, you know, a walk-on to do what Keenan's been able to do has been unbelievable. But Keenan will also be honored tonight. Of course, it's senior night, the final home game. Do you want to win tickets? If you do, call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Caller number one will win those tickets. So, go. There we go. All right. I think they're blowing up right now. I just saw Alex's chair move. So, and again, folks, we'll be taking your calls. If you don't happen to win a ticket, you can still weigh in on anything that we talk about on today's show. It's going to be a great win. And how about, folks, the East Lansing boys basketball team. You know what? I got a chance to actually check this team out last week. I was doing play-by-play along with 92-1, the team. And, I fill in from time to time. And we actually did the Grand Ledge and East Lansing boys basketball game last week. I believe that was Tuesday. And, you know, I got a chance to see – I've been to about 3 games now. I've seen Steve's team in action. But – you know, that was my first time seeing them late in the year to see how well they've gelled. And, folks, this team is unbelievably fun to watch. I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, at the beginning of the year, they're such a young team. They got a lot of young talent on that team. Of course, one of the biggest young guns on that team being Brandon Johns, who is a freshman. He's starting. I mean, the kid's like 8'4", okay? He's huge. He can take it inside and outside. He's so dynamic. Along with, of course, Corona transfer, Mikael Miles, who, of course, was an unbelievable player for Corona, but decided to transfer to East Lansing High School to play with his younger brother, Weston Miles, excuse me. And, of course, both of those, they're Weston Miles and Mikael Miles, they're younger brothers to Clarissa Bell, who was a great, great player for Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team. But anyway, they have a lot of great young talent on that team. And to see how they have been clicking thus far, folks, again, winners of 9 of their last 10 games, currently on a 4-game win streak. Wow, they are the hottest boys basketball team in the area right now. Fun to watch. And, of course, I love talking to Steve Finnemore. He is one of my favorite coaches in this area. It's always a great time when I chat with him. He's such a great basketball mind. Steve, after he gets his lineup, because I actually texted him this morning, and he's getting this, you know, he's getting that fade together. So after he hits the chair and you know, gets his snip on in the barbershop chair, he'll be joining me on the air around 1:45 p.m. to talk about how this turnaround has happened. I mean, it's truly unbelievable, folks, so you don't want to miss that. Also, later on in the show, folks, we'll be talking about that pretty cool story when it comes to Jim Harbaugh. You know, I love stories in the world of sports that, again, don't have to do with really anything with sports. But when you see, you know, these figures that we see all the time, you know, playing, you know, doing what they do, whether it be the coaches or the players, when you see them away from that atmosphere and see them just as humans, And you see a feel-good story, I mean, it's kind of refreshing. It is kind of refreshing. And you know, Jim Harbaugh, as I just said, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, a great story here. You know, he happened to be driving on I-94, and he looks ahead of him and sees that a car had, you know, was involved. One car was involved in a car accident, and, you know, he decides to pull over, him and operations director Jim Minnick. They pull over, and they decide to help these two women out. And, you know, they give them their coats, and they kind of comfort them until law enforcement arrives. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. We'll talk about that as well. And it just further adds to the great image of Jim Harbaugh. That's just a very cool story. And, you know, another feel-good story here, because, you know, sometimes I always bring you guys, again, feel-good stories like the one like Jim Harbaugh. A lot of you have seen, but I don't know if a lot of you have heard about this story. Now, former Mount St. Joseph's women's basketball player, her name is Lauren Hill. She was named to the first team of the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference. They announced this, the conference announced this morning. Now, Hill is a 19-year-old freshman and native of Greendale, Indiana. She was actually diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor during her senior year of high school, but decided to play for the NCAA Division III college, which is, of course, located near Cincinnati. Again, and now Hill, she played in 4 games this year and made 5 layups, including 2 in her final game, which was a 66-65 victory over the College of Worcester on December 16th. She ended her playing career soon after and became an honorary coach for the team. So the conference decided to honor her. And, you know, Lauren Hill's perseverance in her fight against cancer, again, it allowed her to play in just 4 games, but she's inspired so many millions, folks. And this is a pretty cool quote here from the conference commissioner, Chris Ragsdale. He said today that, quote, "This award is being presented to Lauren in recognition of her courage and outstanding leadership. Lauren has been a tremendous inspiration and role model for all student athletes across the country. She has shown through her leadership and dedication how one individual can truly make a difference." Wow. Now, last week, the Mount St. Joseph's team held its postseason banquet in Hill's hospital room. Upbeat and always smiling, Hill has helped raise, get this, more than $1.3 million for cancer research. She is occasionally hospitalized for treatment right now. So, my winner for today, you know, we always have weekend winners every Monday, but today being Wednesday, my winner for today here on Current Sports is Lauren Hill. A very cool story, one of perseverance and one of inspiration. So shout out to Lauren Hill. Wanted to start the show on a positive note, and that certainly is beyond positive, folks. Wow, what a story. All right, folks, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I have one more bit of housekeeping to get to before we get to our first topic here on the show. Current Sports TV will not be taping tonight at 6 p.m., folks. I know, I'm sorry. I got word from the head coach of the Okemos High School hockey team yesterday, and he said that their game was postponed yesterday, so they have to play at 3 p.m. today, and they're not going to make it in time for a 6 p.m. Current Sports TV taping. So we're going to table that taping for next week, folks, and I will keep you updated on that. So definitely wanted to get that out there for those who have already signed up to be a part of that taping later on today. Well, I want to get to our first topic now. Without further ado, how about we talk some maize and blue men's basketball, huh? Michigan, what a game it was last night. You know, after I had, you know, finished catching up on all of my favorite TV shows like, you know, Love and Hip Hop and so on and so forth. I don't watch that show. Never mind, I take that back. But anyway, after I finished getting caught up on all of my favorite shows on television, you know what? I tuned in to the Michigan and Northwestern men's basketball game. Michigan, of course, on the road out in Evanston. And wow, what a game it was. You know, a part of me is a little bit salty because I actually put my ESPN streak for the cash on U of M. So they kind of broke my heart last night, and now I'm like on a four-game losing streak. But that's beside the point. U of M, though, putting up a great fight. But man, oh man, this team has crumpled so many times throughout the year in those waning moments of the game. Those moments where they had the lead, all they got to do is just execute and close out the game. They have simply not done it. Again, a double overtime heartbreaker loss to Northwestern. 82-78 was the final of that game. And again, we talk about the, you know, losing close games, folks. You know, they lost to Wisconsin, Michigan State, Illinois, now Northwestern. All close games that ideally they should have closed out. Point blank period, folks. And, you know, and if you look at last night's game, really, I mean, you know, there were multiple times. And this goes back to the whole foul or defend situations. Because Michigan had, you know, two times. I mean, they had a three-point lead where they could have just sent Northwestern to the line, not even giving them a chance to possibly throw up a three-pointer and tie the game. And it went on to bite them in the rear end, not once but twice. And Trey Dimps, you got to give a lot of credit to Trey Dimps last night because he had 20 points and hit 2 three-pointers. He was the guy in those closing seconds of regulation and in overtime that pushed the game and kept it going and gave the Wildcats a chance. And I tell you what, Michigan in those late moments also didn't help because not only did they didn't foul, and going back to that whole foul or defend situation, which, of course, Steve Finnemore, our guest for today, he's done a lot of extensive research on that. But also, I mean, did you see how Michigan handled the simple inbounds pass, which is just, it's supposed to be simple. But, you know, you saw Max Bielfeldt. I believe that was during regulation. I mean, Michigan is up, and they just hand the ball back to Northwestern, which led to, of course, one of those Trey Dimps threes. But Max Bielfeldt just I don't know what he was thinking. He just hurls the ball on the other side of the court. It doesn't even bounce inbounds. It hits nothing but purple baseline, and Northwestern gets the ball. I just couldn't believe it. And then in the overtime session, another quote-unquote simple inbounds pass goes off the hands of a Wolverine, and Northwestern gets the ball right back. I mean, just little things like that are why Michigan has not been able to close out games. And, what, you know, just two statistics here that are so alarming. Because Michigan, I thought overall, if you take out those waning moments of that game, overall, they played pretty solid. They shot 55% in the first half, which is just, my goodness, that's insane. And they shot 11 of 24 from three-point land, folks. They were hot, sizzling hot from three-point land. But they still lost. If somebody told me that Michigan was going to shoot 55% in the first half and hit 11 three-pointers, I would have said, oh, they win that game easily. Nah, not so much the case, folks. And you can't count out this Northwestern team because Northwestern has been a team in the Big Ten that has also surprised a lot of people of what they've been able to do. An incredible stretch for them as well. These two teams, I believe that U of M and Northwestern are going to be very, very dangerous come Big Ten tournament time, which starts, of course, next week. Both of these teams are very dangerous. And, you know, Michigan, you know, and again, you know, now what? Michigan is 14-15. They're 7-10 in the Big Ten. And they're under 500 now for the first time since the 2010-2011 season, folks. But don't let that record deceive you, because I think Michigan is a better team than what that record alludes to. They kind of remind me of Minnesota in that regard as well. Michigan is a team that battles you, is going to battle you and not back down throughout an entire 40 minutes. And ideally, you know, you talk about that word, that trap game word that Tom Izzo hates. Ideally, anybody that plays Michigan and underestimates this team based on their record in the Big Ten tourney, it could be a trap game for you, my brother. Because this team does not back down from you. Zach Irvin, want to give a shout out to him because it seems as though Zach Irvin has been getting better and better as his Michigan men's basketball tenure, I should say, has progressed. He's gotten better game by game. I think he is a much better player than he was to start the year. up until where he is now, because Zach Ervin hit some big shots when his team needed him last night. He had a career high, I believe, 28 points for Zach Ervin, 11 rebounds. Spike Aubrey, who is, I mean, when you talk about the ideal point guard, you know, as a point guard, I mean, there's so much pressure on you, because I equate the point guard position in basketball to that of a quarterback in football, because you are the man who has the ball pretty much the entire game. You control the offense. You're the guy calling out the plays and setting up everything. That's what the point guard role is. And you don't want turnovers. I mean, in football, it's interceptions, throwing errant passes for turnovers. In basketball, it's just those turnovers. It's those, again, errant passes that lead to turnovers or getting the ball stolen from you. Spike Aubrey takes care of the ball so well, folks. I mean, he had one turnover last night, folks. I mean, and sometimes he'll go on a stretch of three or four games where he doesn't turn the ball over at all. But Spike Aubrey, I mean, and he played, what's so remarkable about that statistic, one turnover, is that he played 47 minutes, folks. I mean, that is a ton of minutes. He had 16 points, 8 assists, getting others involved. But again, it comes down to the little things in close games. Michigan didn't do itself any favors either. I mean, not, you know, they went to the free throw line, and I tell you what, Zach Ervin had a stretch there where he hit four straight. He had ice water in his veins. But again, it wasn't so much there. It was just the lack of execution and the lack of poise down the stretch in those games. But I will tell you, man, you know, career highs from Zach Ervin, Aubrey Dawkins also. He was big on both sides of the court. 21 points for Aubrey yesterday. I tell you what, though, man, this U of M team is very, very impressive still. You know, what they've been able to do without their big money stars and Derek Walton Jr. and Caris LeVert. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir every time I bring them up. But, hey, the proof is in the pudding. They still compete. They still do compete, folks. And give a lot of credit to Trey Dimps. I mean, this man, wow, what a sharp shooter for that Northwestern has in him, huh? And also, you saw Alex Ola. He hit a big three down the stretch of that game as well. So don't sleep on Northwestern. Don't sleep on U of M. That's kind of the formula that made that game so intriguing last night. Alex, I want to now bring in Alex now. Alex Shark, our engineer here on Current Sports. Alex, I don't know if you caught that game last night, but again, I truly think that anyone who plays these two teams are going to be in a dogfight. Very impressive game last night.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And aside from the overtime heartbreaker, for Northwestern, that team has been through a lot of close losses on the year. I mean, even all around, even back to football, but for them to pull out a win at the end of the season when they really don't have the NCAA tournament on the line against probably another hungry team like Michigan, that's pretty tremendous. And, you know, it's good that they got a nice win where most of the time, probably about 70% of the games that are within 5 points, they end up losing. So that's a big win for Northwestern, man.
Yeah, it certainly is. You can talk about close losses. I mean, both of these teams as well. I mean, U of M has had plenty of close games where they just couldn't execute down the stretch. So yeah, I think any team that that plays U of M or Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament is gonna be a tall order. All right, let's shift gears now. Again, folks, the number to call in is 517-355-9527. Alex, did we have any winners for the ticket so far?
Yeah, we have David Krim from East Lansing. He's going to the game tonight, and you'll give him a call after the show.
That's right, David. Congratulations, my man. Enjoy it. Again, MSU playing in the final home game of the regular season against Purdue tonight. Of course, it's going to be senior night. Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, and Keenan Wetzel will be honored tonight. But I tell you what, man, this is going to be a big, 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 big test for MSU, because you did see a hangover. You did see a hangover, folks, after Michigan State lost that Minnesota game. You saw that hangover trickle down into that Michigan State loss to Wisconsin over the weekend. Michigan State didn't look in tune mentally. Frank Kaminsky had a field day when it came to the front court. Benching Brandon Dawson certainly did something to his mental focus throughout that game. And I believe it starts with Brandon Dawson, man. I think Brandon Dawson has to come out and be a man from jumpstart in this game, because this team goes when he goes. And that's the guy that's going to be the X factor for me tonight. You know, just to see how focused Brandon Dawson is throughout this game is going to be very, very interesting. And, you know, Purdue is a solid team, man. And I hate to say it, if I had to give an early prediction here, I haven't given a prediction here on the show in quite some time. I honestly, Alex, don't think MSU is going to win this game tonight. I honestly don't. This is a Purdue team right now that's approaching 20 wins. They have a great, great post presence. And I actually tweeted throughout that Wisconsin game, you know, I'm not quite sold on Michigan State's front court. I think they have a solid front court. I like Schilling. I like Costello. Costello has shown signs this year that he can score from time to time. Brandon Dawson, prior to the Minnesota game, he seemed to be taking his game to another level and started to really see signs of the Brandon Dawson that we saw in the Big Ten tourney bleeding into the NCAA tourney last year. But still, I mean, it seems as though when they play a good post-presence team, they struggle. They get bullied down low. When we talk about a post-presence, Purdue is a team that certainly has that. Of course, in A.J. Hammond, 7-footer, he's averaging right now 12.7 points and better than 7 rebounds per game. One of the best big men in the Big Ten right now. And also his backup, freshman Isaac Hayes. I mean, Isaac is a player who can come in and give you solid, solid minutes and bang you around. So when you got 2 7-footers on your team, wow. Again, it even puts even more of a spotlight on guys like Brandon Dawson, Costello, and Schilling to come out and really bring it from the start of that game to the end of that game. And statistically, this Purdue team defends, Alex. They are the Big Ten's best defensive team and among the top 3 in rebounding. And they've proven that they can hang with the big boys. They've had wins against Ohio State. They've beaten Iowa. And they've beaten Indiana not once but twice, folks. So if I had to choose, Alex, I'm sorry to say, man, and again, I think it starts with Brandon Dawson and it has a trickle-down effect, but I just don't see Michigan State winning this game tonight.
Well, at the other side of it, it is senior day. They're going to want to win their last home game at Breslin, and just because Purdue beat good teams, it doesn't mean that they're going to go in and thinking that they're going to be Michigan State. So I'm actually going to say Michigan State's going to win this game. I think on paper and looking at the big wins, it makes sense to say Purdue like you were saying. But I think on senior day at Breslin, at home, it's unmatched, man. I think they're going
to
win it.
Hey, you know, Brandon Dawson seems to have his best games against Purdue. You know, I rattled off a few statistics early on. I mean, he's averaged almost 16 points per game, 7 rebounds, and at least gets 1 block against Purdue every time he plays him. So he brings it against Purdue. So if anything, if you want to go on, you know, hard, if you're a hard numbers type of guy, if you're a stats guy, if you're a trend type of a sports fan, I mean, looking at the trend that Brandon Dawson has had when he has played the Boilermakers, you got to have a smile on your face. At the same time, these past 2 games have not looked good for Izzo and company. And you start to really see just frustration on the faces of this team. But right now, this one has to start because really mathematically, Michigan State does need at least 1 more win to make the NCAA tourney. When you add it all up, folks, and they, you know, it will be great. It will be a huge, 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 huge momentum shift if they do get a win against Purdue. Folks, what do you think is going to happen tonight? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about one horrific moment in sports history that took place 25 years ago to this day. And also, we'll chat with Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, folks. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Curran Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports, ladies and gents. And folks, if you're just now joining us on the show, before our first break, of course, I wanted to remind all of you out there, for those that did sign up for tonight's Current Sports TV taping, remember it's being postponed to next week due to Okemos hockey team, who were supposed to be my guests for tonight. Their game yesterday actually got postponed, and they will be playing at 3 o'clock today, thus making them ineligible to come to tonight's TV taping. So we'll keep you updated as this story progresses. But hey, those of you signed up, don't show up tonight, all right? Relax. Go watch some MSU men's basketball tonight, all right? All right. Also, want to bring up this right now because the Tigers right now are in game 2 against the Orioles right now, of course, in the Grapefruit League. And it's 0-0 right now, I believe, the top of the second. Just want to give a quick Tigers update. Of course, they had a big, big win yesterday, 15-2 in route of the Orioles yesterday during their first game, I believe their first game of the Grapefruit League season opener. So, yeah, it was a season opener. So, there you have that. Also, Alex, I don't know if you caught Kentucky last night, man. Kentucky looks really, really good. But they definitely dodged a bullet because Georgia had the lead, a two-point lead, with about 3 minutes left to go. Are you buying into this Kentucky team?
Well, that's the thing is they also had a little scare against, I believe, Columbia as well or earlier on the year. I was watching the game, and Columbia was up as well in the first half. So I'm still buying in because the resiliency, man. I mean, look at Florida State. I mean, how many times were they trailing and they came back and you're like, well, you know, it's Florida State. They got the number three seed. But if you're winning, you're winning, right?
Right, exactly. And you know what's so impressive is that this team is so young. I mean, these are kids still in diapers and they're still going out there and executing in close games and closing out games. I mean, that shows maturity, so much maturity. And you got to give a lot of credit to John Calipari. I mean, that comes down to coaching, too, in those late game situations to make sure that your team does not panic. You know, with this undefeated, you know, season right now, the season of perfection on the line, hey, shout out to John Calipari because that takes a lot of mental focus breeding from the coach into its players. All right, folks, let's shift gears now. I want to talk about this moment because I can't believe, man, it's been 25 years to the day. I mean, I can't believe it has been this long since this moment has happened, but it was one of the most public tragedies in American sports history, folks. March 4th, 1990, the year I was born, somehow, almost impossibly, it seems, again, 25 years ago this week, and seemingly, you know, looking back at this moment, it seems like it happened just yesterday, folks. Now, if you don't know about this moment, I strongly encourage you all to do a quick Google, do a quick YouTube. There's been a few documentaries made on it, but, you know, I think this moment doesn't really get the necessary attention that really it deserves. I don't even think ESPN, you know, with all the 30 for 30s they've done, I don't think they've even recapped this moment yet in an ESPN 30 for 30 film. But it's so riveting, folks. Now, if you don't know, for our young listeners out there, Loyola Marymount University, one of the highest scoring, most exciting teams, one of the most exciting teams, folks, in college basketball had ever seen, arguably the most exciting team in the history of basketball. They were that good, folks. I remember my dad actually sitting me down and showing me highlights of this squad because at the time, again, I was just born in 1990. I wasn't even born when this moment happened, actually. But my dad, I remember later on, you know, when I was about 13 or 14 years old, my dad sat me down, actually showed me highlights of this team, and man, my jaw hit the floor. My jaw completely hit the floor, folks. They were so entertaining, so exciting, folks. But, you know, they were rolling through the West Coast Conference Tournament en route to what was expected to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament. Excuse me. Now, it was one of the most highest scoring duos in college basketball history. Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. Those two names were staples in the college basketball realm during that time. They had really taken advantage of head coach Paul Westhead's run and gun system to turn this no-name basketball school into really a national power. Now, this is when the moment happened, folks. It was a packed house at Gernston Pavilion on the Los Angeles campus on March 4th for the team's semifinal game versus Portland in the conference tourney. So then this happened. So then came a half-court alley-oop pass from point guard Terrell Lowry and a thunderous dunk by Hank Gathers. And then the scene that anyone who saw it will never forget. Gathers, who was 23 years old at the time, and who called himself, quote, the strongest man in America. Unbelievably gifted. Oh, boy. And the soon-to-be NBA lottery pick, who was larger than life, he stumbled on the basketball court, folks, and he fell to the floor and never got up. Again, it's one of those moments you look at and you say, no, this can't be happening, right? He's going to be fine. Because, you know, when initially somebody goes down, no matter what sport it is, you think, okay, maybe the player maybe have torn something or broke something. You know, let's go back and look at the replay. Let's see exactly what happened here. But you really saw, you saw no twist of his ankle. You know, you saw really nothing that really alluded to a significant injury. So then you start to say to yourself, oh, my gosh, I mean, what's happening here? What is going on? And after that game, of course, he passed away, folks. Hank Gathers, dead at the age of 23 years old. A riveting moment. And you know, it's one of those moments in American sports that a fan, if you saw it live, if you were at the game, you really can't erase that moment from your head. You know, it's kind of like, to equate it to some of the more tragic moments in sports history, it's kind of like, you know, Dale Earnhardt's fatal crash at Daytona. I mean, how can you remember that? How can you not forget that one, right? Or remember Kevin Ware? Remember, I never forget another moment for me. It's this moment, and also Kevin Ware. I don't know if you guys remember Kevin Ware, but Kevin Ware was a Louisville basketball player. At the time that this happened, I was a sports reporter, an anchor at Channel 6 News. I was in the office all by myself. I'm preparing for the 6 o'clock news, and you know, I'm going to cut highlights of the Duke and Louisville game, a big game. Coach K, you know, facing Mr. Patino. And all of a sudden, you know, you see this moment happen. Kevin Ware shoots a three-pointer from the side, and he comes down. And at first, I didn't really know what happened, but there was kind of a stoppage in play, and you heard the crowd sort of get eerily silent. Then you look on the other end, the camera pans to the Louisville players, and they are completely collapsed. One player is crying, and you're sitting there, whoa, what exactly happened here? Then they show the replay, and it was a complete snap of Kevin Ware's shin. And it's gruesome. I wouldn't even go into detail. Many of you guys have already seen that. So, I mean, you look at certain moments like that, and it's one of those memories I will never forget. Never forget. And that's exactly what this one was. I mean, Hank Gathers passing out on the floor, and, you know, looking at, reading quotes from some of Hank Gathers' teammates 25 years later, Brian Berger being one of them. He says, quote, "I still have dreams 25 years later of that night." Berger actually was a student radio announcer for Loyola Marymount's radio station, KXLU. Then he went on to say, quote, "In my dreams, I'm begging Hank not to play." Wow. Man, unbelievable moment. So again, folks, that happened 25 years to this day. Hank Gathers passing out on the basketball court and passing away at the tender age of 23 years old. Now, you know, Alex, I want to bring you in for this now because, you know, again, I just mentioned a few moments that I'll never forget in sports history. You know, one, of course, being the Dale Earnhardt, that crash at Daytona and it took his life, one of the greatest racers of all time, the Kevin Ware injury for me. Then also, you know, Hank Gathers, because again, I told you my dad, I mean, he would talk to me about that moment and what went down. And I just really couldn't believe it when he told me the story. And now, I can't believe it's been 25 years ago that this happened, but unbelievable. I mean, what are some of the more... tragic moments in sports history for you that you remember.
Yeah, I definitely remember the more recent Reggie White defensive end when he collapsed in practice from dehydration, and that was a really big deal because you hadn't really seen that with NFL. I feel like at that point, NFL players had this kind of sense of being a warrior and kind of invincible to a degree, and you would never think in a non-game situation like that that you would see something like that happen. And that was a pretty big deal because that was when I was a little bit older. You know, I wasn't in my younger years where cases like Len Bias and some of the other really memorable cases happened where, you know, when you were out, I mean, with Hank Gathers, you don't remember this. I know you're, what are you, 24 now? And
yeah, the only recount I had is of my dad sitting there and telling me about it, didn't doing research. I'm like, my jaw was on the floor even years, 13 years after it happened. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right, and I think due to medical technology and... the way that technology has progressed, we've been able to not really have a really horrible incident like this happen in quite some time. And yeah, I say overall, man, this is bad. I would even say that, you know, you've seen basketball movies made after this. I mean, the movie with the Wayans, I think it was the Wayans brothers. I think one of them collapses on, I'm trying to think the name of the movie.
Oh, but I know what you're talking about. I know exactly. Yeah. Marlon ends up passing away and he comes back as a ghost or something.
Right, yeah. So, I mean... Definitely inspiration because obviously leading the categories with points and rebounding for Hank Gathers, that's pretty tremendous. And we're pretty fortunate we haven't seen anything like that in quite some time, Al.
Yeah, and I think it kind of let us know that no matter how physically fit someone may look, you never know what's going through the body, man, because the body is one of the most intricate things on this earth. And, you know, I give a lot of props to doctors out there who have to, you know, see on a daily basis just individuals who go through certain things and have to do the research to find out what's wrong with the individual. I mean, it's intricate stuff. That's why it's above my pay grade. That's why I'm a journalist, folks. But, you know, it's one of those moments that, you know, you look at and say, I think a lot of people looked at athletes in a different way, that even though these athletes, they train hard, they're physical phenomenons, but you just never know what could happen health-wise still with these incredible athletes. So, again, 25 years ago today, the death of Hank Gathers. Of course, that took place on March 4th of 1990. With that being said, let's hit our second break, folks. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Steve Finnemore. That's right, he's one of my favorite coaches in the area. The head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. They are now winners of 9 of its last 10 games. How about that? We'll be chatting with Steve in just a sec. Do not touch that dial. You're listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. What is up, beautiful people? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 4th, 2015. Man, you know, after having all that snow we had yesterday, it is very refreshing to walk out of my apartment door and to sense, what is it, 30 degrees outside? Beautiful weather. Spring is almost here, folks. Spring is almost here. And, you know, one of the things I love about March is not only that the weather begins to change, but this is the time of the year where basketball takes over my life. And I'm such a hoop junkie. You know, I got NBA League Pass, so I'm always every night watching, you know, what's going on in the NBA. Also, college hoops. I mean, March Madness with college hoops is arguably the best sporting event there is, you know, next to the Super Bowl. I mean, you can make that argument. You can definitely make that argument. I love it. The Big Ten tournament will be out in Chicago next week. Alex and I, that's going to be fun stuff. And definitely excited to see just how well, if Michigan State makes the NCAA tournament, which I think they will, just to see how far Tom Izzo's team will go. And to see if Kentucky can continue its season of perfection. Because, man, oh, man, I mean, watching this team, especially last night, dealing with that adversity against against Georgia, they're showing that, man, they may be young, but they know how to handle and they know how to handle themselves in those situations. So, wow, what a team, what a team. So I love March Madness. And you know what? Not only is, you know, the focus on college and the pros and so on and so forth, but another reason why I love March Madness is because of course, high school basketball. Of course, the girls, they began the district tournament on Monday. And I tell you what, boys basketball district tournaments are right around the corner as well. And a team that seems to be hitting a stride right at the right time is the East Lansing boys basketball team. They actually got a 56-35 win over Lansing Catholic last night at home. The team is now winners of, get this, 9 of the last 10 games. They hold a 9-5 record, sitting at third place right now in the CAAC Blue Conference. And to talk about the hottest team in mid-Michigan hoops is the man, the myth, the legend himself, head coach of the Trojans, Steve Finnemore. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Big Al. I'm great, man. It's great to be on your show. And, hey, I got to give a shout-out to my boy, Draymond Green, man. Today's his birthday.
Oh, how about – I didn't know it was Day-Day's birthday. Shout-out to Draymond Green, man. You know, it's funny, Steve, because Draymond just actually made some headlines yesterday for biting back at, of course, Charles Barkley, who said that he was too small and that Golden State won't win a championship. How funny is that, man? Charles Barkley's always stirring up some stuff, Steve.
Hey man, I got to tell you something. I've been around the game of basketball for a long time. I've been with hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of basketball players, and Draymond Green is one of my top 10 favorite people of all time.
Yeah, he is certainly great, man. I love Day-Day when he was here, when I was covering him as a young intern at Channel 6. So, yeah, shout-out to Day-Day, man. Happy birthday, my brother. So, Steve,
right.
I want to get to your team now, man, because I tell you what, I got the opportunity. I've seen your team near the beginning of the year, but, you know, last week was actually my first opportunity to see you guys now late in the year to see how you all have been gelling. And I actually was at that Grand Ledge and EL game, and you guys pulled that one out, showed great poise down the stretch, a lot of fouls in that game, but your team held it together. And again, you know, last night was truly a testament to that same notion. I mean, you guys get a win over Lansing Catholic, winners of 9 of the last 10 games. I mean, Steve, what has led to this incredible turnaround?
I think it's a variety of things, Al, but what I'll touch on are the most important things. And number one, Al, is team. It's all about the team with these guys. And when I say team, I mean not only they get together on the basketball court and have a good time, off the court they enjoy each other, they spend time together. It's just, you know, last week they got together. They had a big Xbox tournament in the library at our school. You know, we have team meals together. You know, they do all sorts of things off the court with each other. This is a group that really, really likes each other. And Al, when you have a team that get along with each other and do not care about who gets the credit or who scores the points, magical things can happen. Just all you got to do is look at the San Antonio Spurs from last year.
Yeah, that is certainly true, Steve. And you know what? Something that really stood out to me, especially looking at last week at that Grand Ledge game. I mean, you talk about how close they are. Of course, they gathered in a circle and started to do a little dance after that game. And they seemed to really like each other. And the thing that I mentioned during that broadcast of that game, Steve, is that when you look at your guys' record, you guys have always, even though you've had a few losses to start the year, you guys have always been in the game. I mean, you go back to, you know what, January 13th against, you know, Lansing Everett at home, a 62-56 loss. Then the next game after that, also against Lansing Sexton, 52-51. Then Grand Ledge at the beginning of the year, on January 20th, I should say, 53-41 in that game. You guys have always been in the game, and now you're starting to see in those close game situations, this young team handle it with poise. What has been the key to that change as a head coach?
I think defensively, we've done a better job. We've played defense as a unit. You know, a lot of people think that defense is just me guarding you and me stopping you, but that's not the case, Al. The case is on defense. Defense is five guys working as one. When my men don't have the ball, I've got to be in the help position. When a shot goes up, I got to go get the rebound. So there's multiple things you can do on the defensive end that the average fan really doesn't know about, you know, getting loose balls on the floor, diving on them. So I would have to say the team defense has really stepped up. And second, Al, when someone has a good shot, and if someone's open closer to the basket, it's not as simple as it sounds. Our guys will pass the ball to that kid to give him a better shot. So we go from a good shot to a great shot. And Al, that concept and that theory with a lot of basketball players together is a lost art.
That is certainly true. And Steve, I mean, as a coach, to get a team to play as a team can certainly be a tall order, especially when you're dealing with a young team at that. Your squad being such a young squad, Steve, I mean, and you guys are the youngest team actually in the CAAC Blue Conference. Yep. How do you get a young team to buy in?
Well, right now in youth sports, it's probably the hardest thing to do. Because here's the deal, Al. You got kids out there all around the area, all around the country, that are hiring personal trainers to work with them. And if you go to one of these sessions, it's all about shooting basketball. Now, if you're spending $50, $60, $70 an hour for a coach to teach your kid how to shoot, and when you shoot 200-300 shots, you know, quite frankly, next time you play a game, you're going to want your son shooting the ball. The kid's going to want to shoot the ball. You got to explain to them how they need to pass the ball. They need to defend the ball. They need to dribble the ball. There's a lot of things they got to do. It takes a lot of time, Al. And the reason why we're playing well now is because it finally sunk in. They finally started listening. They finally started buying in. When basketball players on a team, when they try to do it all by themselves and do it their way, it usually doesn't work out for the best. When you do it the coaching staff's way and you do it the right way, good things happen for the team. And when good things happen for the team, you win, and then people take notice.
That is certainly true. Well said, Coach Finnemore. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we're talking with the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, Steve Finnemore. Again, this team is winners of 9 of their last 10 games. Now, Steve, you know, when looking at the statistics from last night's game, now each of your 6 field goals in the first 8 minutes of that game against Lansing Catholic were from beyond the arc, three-pointers. Was that out of the norm for you guys last night?
You know, we knew Lansing Catholic coming in was going to play us like a zone against us. Teams have zoned us in the past. I actually expect Waverly on Thursday night to play zone against us. Craig Fields does a tremendous job there. The last couple of times we've played them, he zoned us. The day before, on Monday, we worked on moving the ball around and taking the open shot. Well, we must have took, I don't know, 200, 300, 400 shots each that day. So we talked about it. We worked on it. And shooting out is all about confidence. You know, you could talk about the repetition part of it. You could talk about the form and this to get all technical. But if you're not confident in your shot, you're not going to make it. So we moved the ball around the perimeter. We made the defense move from side to side. and we worked for the best available shot. And luckily for our guys last night, the three-point shot was on.
Now, senior Mikal Miles, he also scored 24 points last night to lead you all. He had 9 of those 24 in the first quarter alone. How big of an addition has this Corona transfer been for you guys, Steve?
It's funny because Mikal's a great kid, and when he was at Corona and played against Lansing Catholic in the past, he had told me that he had never really had a good game against them when they played.
Mm-hmm.
We played them this past summer at Michigan State's team camp, and Lansing Catholic beat us, you know, up at the Jenison, and Mikal didn't play very well, and I could see he was really bummed out because he tries really, really hard. And last night, even though he was a little sick, he was a little under the weather last night, I saw it in his eyes when he came out. Al, Mikal is going to have a really good game in the beginning. You can notice if he's engaged and locked in on defense, which he was last night, and if he makes that first shot. It's real important, as simple as it sounds. When a basketball player makes his first shot of the game, whether it's a layup, whether it's a jump shot, more than likely he's going to have a good game.
So it's all mental. I mean, that's the mental part of the game. The game within the game, I always say. Right, Steve?
It really is. You know, I don't think enough people who study the game or follow or even watch the game, I don't think they put enough emphasis on the mental part. It's almost like it's taboo to talk about it mentally, but, you know, it's just like golf. You know, it's a really, really big-time mental game. You know, when guys miss free throws, I'm really convinced that it's not so much the repetition. Sure, that's important, but I think the mental part of it on free throws misses really come into effect. And Al, you got to be confident. You know, when you're playing, you got to program your mind. You got to get psyched up for the game. You got to get ready for the game. You know, some guys, they just got their mindset is just like way out there, and you can tell during the game.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Now, Steve, I want to bring up this moment because in the same conversation of talking about, of course, Mikal Miles, I want to go back to near the beginning of the year. Of course, you guys actually hosted a matchup against Lansing Everett, Trevor Manuel and company. And I was at that game. I was near your bench, and I actually got, you know, I caught footage of a moment that actually has now become the most viewed video in YouTube WKAR history.
Wow.
The Bleacher Report picked up the video. Of course, Detroit Sports Radio picked up the video. I mean, it was everywhere, Steve. The dunk, of course, that Mikal Miles had in that game was absolutely unbelievable. And you know what? When I went back and looked at that video, there's a moment that, you know, right before Mikal takes off, I can hear very clearly your voice that says, dunk it, dunk it. And I truly believe if he didn't hear that in his subconscious mind, he wouldn't have took off, Steve.
Well, I tell you, it's funny. That was beautiful camera work, Al, because I too watched that and I listened to it. I ran it back a few times. Yes, that was my voice, and Mikal did hear me. When I coach, Al, I'm all about the audio part. I'm all about the vocal. I'm always, you know, yelling and screaming. 99% of my yelling and screaming is positive.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got the ball on the fast break, his brother Weston actually passed him the ball.
Yeah.
He caught the ball right by our bench. I screamed it to him because on the fast break, Al, you always want a player on the wing or coming down the middle to go up as high as they can and try to dunk everything. Because one of two things will happen. You'll either dunk it or you will get fouled. It's very rare you see kids miss dunks without getting fouled.
Yeah.
So when guys go up out and they try to lay the ball in, usually they'll miss it or it gets blocked or they don't get fouled. So we encourage all our guys who can dunk to go up and dunk it in traffic. And you know, it was great because it was an N1, too. Mikal got fouled on that play.
Yeah, he did.
And that's something you don't see often. But I did encourage him. I did shout it out, dunk it, dunk it. And you know, I love the kid to death. He plays really hard. I think any college who gets him next year for the next couple of years is going to get a gem.
Yeah, he certainly is a gem to say the least, Steve. All right, before I let you go, Steve, I want to get your thoughts on this because I was actually out, of course, at the district tournament, the opening game for the high school girls basketball district tournament. I went out to Okemos High School. Okemos taking on Waverly. I got a chance to talk with TJ Hawkins. Of course, they got a big win against Okemos to move on in the district tourney. They have a great team this season. But, you know, I wanted to get, you know, TJ's thoughts on the high school hoops postseason format because TJ had some interesting thoughts on it, Steve. And he talked about how, you know, sometimes he wished that the format would change because, one, everyone who, you know, you could lose every game throughout the regular season, Steve, and still have a chance to make a run in the postseason. And he touched on that, but also talked about how the seeding needs to be changed when it comes to the postseason high school tournament, because sometimes great teams or subpar teams get an unfair bid to start the district tourney. What do you think? Do you think the format needs to be changed?
You know, Al, I know this is talk radio and everybody wants to hear the opinions and stuff. I'm still on the fence with this, Al, because I'll tell you what. This year, I got a bye, and 2 years ago, I got a bye. So I'm not going to complain with that, you know?
Right.
5 years ago, I tied for the CAAC Blue regular season with Okemos. We beat them twice in the regular season, and then we had to play them in the first round of the districts, and we got knocked out. So this past Monday, I watched the Witt girls play East Lansing girls. You know, both teams won their league regular season championship. EL got a piece of it. DeWitt played EL. EL is home now. You know what I mean? So it's a tough call, Al. I think we'd have to sit down. One of these days I'm going to sit down and try to figure something out on what they can do to change it. So right now I'll just go with how they do it, and I won't complain, because when I complain, my wife gets mad at me. So. But, hey, Al, since you're on girls basketball, what I do want to say is my favorite female basketball player in this area is Claudia Reed from DeWitt.
She's great, yeah.
Okay, you know, she's going to Princeton, and Princeton is 27-0 right now.
Right.
And Princeton, if people are going to say, well, that's the Ivy League, they don't play anybody, they beat the Michigan Wolverines by 30 points earlier this season.
Yeah, that's true. That is very, very true. You know, I think we know when people hear Princeton, they don't really think of basketball, doesn't come first in the mind. But this team is very impressive. I have been keeping up. And Claudia is an unbelievable player.
Al, she made such an impact on me and my daughter, who's a JV basketball player here at EL. My daughter asked me yesterday, Daddy, can we go watch the Witt play tonight? Because I want to see that girl, Claudia Reed, play. So that girl made an impression on me and my daughter, and I'm pulling. I know EL's out now, but I'm pulling for DeWitt to go all the way, because I want to see that girl again.
She's unbelievable. Yeah, certainly a great team. Well, I tell you what, Steve, as the season now progresses, man, I want to wish you all the luck in the district tourney, and I'm sure we'll have you on very soon. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, buddy. Take care and have a great day.
You do the same. Appreciate that, Steve. All right, again, folks, Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team and winners of nine of their last 10 games. Well, man, oh, man, time flies when you're having fun, folks. We have now approached the last minutes of Current Sports. And I want to give a shout-out to, of course, Steve Finnemore. Thanks a lot, Steve, for joining me on today's Current Sports. I want to give a shout-out to all of you out there for tuning in to today's show. On tomorrow's show, you don't want to miss our outstanding coverage of course, Senior Night at the Breslin Center, the final MSU men's basketball home game. I'll be in the Breslin Center, and we'll have post-game coverage. You get to hear from Tom Izzo, of course, Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, Keenan Wetzel, the seniors on that team, and so much more. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day. And, hey, be easy, people.